Good to see everybody here this morning. Hope everybody is having a good Sunday so far. I've had a good Sunday so far. I hope I continue to have one. So, some of you are probably a little confused by the title of my lesson. Do you even lift, bro? For you people who don't understand it, it's a young person thing. You got to be young to get it, I guess. But do you even lift, bro? It has a backstory. When I was in college, I had this friend. His name was Tim. He was one of those guys who was always in the gym, always working out, always doing something. And his muscles were just so big, he couldn't scratch his own nose. He was one of those guys. And one day we're at the SBC and we're playing volleyball, well, not regular volleyball, Nukem or something. I can't remember exactly what it was. But anywho, we ran into each other and he's like, "Man, Turpin, you're solid, boy." I said, "Yeah, I've always been a pretty solid guy." And he said, "Do you even lift, bro?" I said, "As little as possible." He said, "Man, you need to get in the gym. You need to work out. Man, you get big. You get tough. You'd get addicted." I said, "Nay, no. I could cut cold turkey at any time with working. Working is not fun. It feels like the worst. Working is never any fun. It's boring. And most of the time, it's straight up dumb. It has no point to it, it seems like. I hate working." My father is here this morning, and if you think I'm lying, you can go and ask him. All right? When I was little, Tyler didn't like working. It was never any fun, right? So, whenever Dad would take 8-year-old Tyler out to go working, Tyler was doing something that was boring, saw something that was more fun, and decided to go do that. And he called that, quote-unquote, sneaking off. I never snuck off. You should have been watching me. You turned your back. That's your fault, right? So I took it, at least. But I never liked working. And my dad explained to me, "Son, when you get older, you're going to have to work in life." I said, nay, we're going to have to find a way to get out of this. So at 8 years old, Tyler came up with a plan to get out of working as an adult. Tyler saw a documentary one time. This guy was in a room, he had a bed, a nice bed, he had a TV, he got fed every day, and he didn't have to do anything. I said, "That's it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to prison for a white-collar crime." Now, after my parents got done laughing at me, as you just did, they explained, "Tyler, you know, you kind of have to be smart to commit a white-collar crime. It means you got to go to college, you got to do a lot of work, and know numbers and stuff." And I was like, Nay, that sounds like a lot of work. I'm trying to get out of working. So I know what I'll do. I'll go to prison for any kind of crime, right? That's the next best step. Yeah, it took about a week. Tyler figured out that's not the place he wants to go. That's not any fun. So Tyler said, I've got a great idea. An idea nobody's thought of. I'll live with Mom and Dad forever." And again, as they got done laughing at me, as you did, they explained to me, "No, son, you're going to have to work. You're not going to live with Mommy and Daddy forever." And poor little 8-year-old Tyler was crushed, but he accepted the fact that he was going to have to work, even though he hates it. Working. Working is not only a part of life, it's a part of the church. If you're a part of the church, you have to work. James says in James 2:26, "For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." Now, I have a disclaimer here. This verse, like so many others in James, has been taken out of context, and the Bible, by the way, has been taken out of context. This, brethren, is not talking about baptism. The brotherhood likes to use this and say, "See, there it is, proof, you have to be baptized." No, that's not talking about baptism. Okay? That faith without works is dead, that's not saying, "Oh, see, you can't get saved by faith alone." Because it's not talking about baptism. Now, some people will say, "Well, Tyler, then that kind of sounds like it's directly contradicting Paul." Well, let's look at some of those that people think Paul and James are contradicting each other. Paul says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Well, that seems to directly contradict James in James chapter 2, verses 17. So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And then in verse 26 again, for as the body apart from the Spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Well, that seems to directly contradict each other, doesn't it? Well, he goes on. They say one is saved by this, one is saved by that. Well, now we're saying one is justified by this, one is justified by that. Paul says, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. In Romans 3:28, and he also says in Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace through God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, that seems to directly contradict James again in James 2:24. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So, is Paul and James contradicting each other? Absolutely not, brethren. Absolutely not. They cannot, will not contradict each other. Paul and James are both inspired by God. They are both inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. This is the Word of God. Both Paul and James. Not just Paul, not just James, both together. And the psalmist writer tells us in Psalms 119, 160, the sum of your word is truth. That word sum is S-U-M, the addition of, the totality of. Not S-O-M-E, not picking and choosing which ones we like. All of it is truth. Here's an easy way to remember it. If you come across two different verses that seem to contradict each other, one of three things has happened. Number one, you've misinterpreted verse A. Number two, you've misinterpreted verse B. Or number three, you've misinterpreted both verse A and verse B, and you need to go back and do some more studying. So, Paul and James are not contradicting each other. They're talking about two different types of works. Well, what are those works? So if James is not contradicting Paul, Tyler, what's going on here? Well, Paul is talking about works of merit through the law of Moses, whereas James is talking about deeds of righteousness, fulfilling the royal law that he talks about in chapter 2, verse 8. Paul is talking about the initial declaration of innocence. When you first are declared innocent, right at the beginning, James is talking about the ultimate verdict of innocence at the final judgment. James is saying this is the end. Paul is saying this is the beginning. Well, James is more in the middle. And if that's still kind of confusing, I have a chart here for you. The solid black line on the left is justification. Justified, saved. It is where the Holy Spirit regenerates and indwells. And if you're on the left side of that line, you're lost. Okay, according to this chart, you're lost on that side. At this point, where you cross that justification line is the new birth. That is the baptism, right? When you are baptized into Christ, you become a new creature, right? So that's new birth. And the solid black line is how we should go. We should go from new birth to sanctified, 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 all the way through. However, we are human, we fail. Paul says, for all have fallen short of the glory of God. So that little bitty black line that goes up and down and wavy, that is actually how we do go. Right? Because sometimes Tyler screws up. Tyler messes up. But we keep trying, we keep going, and if we keep up, and God will provide enough grace for us as long as we are walking in His light, we will be sanctified. However, there's a flip side to that coin. If you quit working and you quit trying, you're lost again. James is talking about Christians being declared innocent and justified on the day of judgment. Paul, the new birth. So, where else do we see this in Scripture? Where do we see this besides just James? Well, if you want to, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right, and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, Come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer to him, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not come visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it for me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jesus himself says, we're going to be judged by our works, by what we do. You don't do this, you get judged for it. You do this, you get judged for it. It is not, oh, be warmed and be filled. I love you. God will provide. No, no. Absolutely not. James says no. Christ says no. You have to do something. You have to work. Christ also says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 and 37, I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be what? You will be justified. And by your words you will be what? You will be condemned. So not only are we being judged by the works of our hands, but also by the works of our mouths. I'll be honest with you, brethren, that one right there kind of scares me. Because Tyler's been known to have a little temper and shoot off his mouth when he shouldn't have. But, again, we have confidence in Christ, in His grace, as long as we continue to walk in His light and continue to work. But Tyler's scared of this one that he's going to mess up. He's trying his best, but he probably messed that one up. Another place we see this is from James himself, in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that, as such, we will incur a stricter judgment. Side note, I tried to get out of preaching. I told the elders, see, I shouldn't have to do it. And they said, no, no, you still have to do it. I was like, okay, fine. But it's saying that teachers and preachers are going to be held to a higher standard. Because if you say something wrong, you're held to a higher standard. If you're going out there and you're trying to be, oh, look at me, Mr. Popular, give me money. No, that's wrong. You're held to a higher standard than that. You got to give glory to God, not yourself. It's very easy for preachers to give glory to themselves rather than God, especially if they know what they're doing. I'm not that good. I can't do that, but we'll see. So what is James's message? James's message is very clear. His message in James 2, 14 through 26 is for Christians. It is not for the unbeliever. It is not, see, here's baptism, you got to be baptized. No, no. This is after baptism. We already established Paul talked about the initial declaration of innocence. James is on something else. So it's for Christians. You can't claim to be a person of faith and not back that faith up with action. In other words, meaning, you cannot just, that word just means only, by itself, apart from everything. You cannot just sit in a pew on Sunday morning and think everything's all right. I'm A-okay. No, James says absolutely not. So what is the takeaway from James? This should be our takeaway. If we're going to be completely honest with ourselves, brethren, we need to ask ourselves two questions. We need to ask ourselves, number one, are you, or am I, because it's to me too, are you a man, as a man or a woman of faith, working? Or are you just sitting in a pew? And number two, what is the one area of your life that needs to be more in line with your beliefs? Because, believe it or not, brethren, you can go a different route with this. You can not work at all, which is bad. But then you can do one or two works and say, I've done enough. I did enough for God. I'm good for the day. I wrote a card of encouragement. I'm good. No. And now, I'm going to give you an example, and she's going to hate me for this. But Amanda Boyle, if you don't know her, get to know her. She's a lovely person. Amanda Boyle is one of the greatest Christians that I know today. She, with this, she will bake goods to deliver to people, to go and visit them, normally elderly, shut-ins, or the sick, as long as it's not COVID. She doesn't go see COVID people. I don't get it. But anyway, she goes and she visits people. She delivers baked goods to them, right? Not only that, she writes cards of encouragement. She goes, and in her spare time, she'll go and write cards of encouragement to people. And not only that, but almost every Saturday when she's in Clinton and they're not on lockdown, she goes to the jail in Custer County. Now, they keep letting her back out, too. But she goes to the jail to preach to these girls who need it the most. And just the other day, we're talking, she says, Tyler, we need to find more. We have more to do. There is something else we can be doing. Brethren, this second question is, what is the one area of your life that needs to be more in line with your beliefs? Another way to word that is, what more can you be doing? Are you doing anything? And what more can you be doing? There is no cap to the work for the Lord and His church. There is no cap. You cannot do enough. There is always more to do. So, my conclusion is this. Number one, Paul and James are not contradicting each other. They can't contradict each other. It is the Word of God. They are talking about two separate things. Paul is talking about works of the law and initial salvation, whereas James is talking about works of righteousness, deeds of righteousness, fulfilling the royal law, and continual salvation, staying in Christ. James says, if you have no works, you have a dead faith. And he says, can that faith save you? And that is a rhetorical answer for no, it cannot save you. So my question to you is, do you even lift? Do you, as a member of a church, or the church, do you even lift? Where can you start working? Where can you start lifting? Where can you lift more? Where can you do more? Now, there may be some of you who, in here today who are thinking, you know, Tyler, I'm not even a Christian. I haven't made that commitment in the past. I haven't gone and experienced that new birth. Well, here in a moment, we are about to sing an invitational song. It is God's invitation. And you can come up here and partake of that new birth. We will help you facilitate that. You can start your work in Christ because baptism is the beginning. It is not the end. So if you need to come and do that, come. But let's say you've made that commitment in the past. You've made that commitment to be in His church, and yet you've fallen. You've fallen short. You got lazy. You slid back. You're like, yeah, I'm good. You need to repent. You need to come back. Repent, to turn. Stop doing the wrong thing. Start doing the right thing in its place. Whatever your need is this morning, we ask you that you would come as we stand and as we sing.